Father, in the name of Jesus, we're honored just to be a part of your kingdom, a part of your world, a part of your life. Father, no matter what it is that come against us, we're able to endure, we're able to overcome it. And I praise you that, Lord, this day and this message will help us to understand and to see what we're really supposed to do in a time like this. Amen, in Jesus' name, amen. In fact, what I want to make this as a title of today is Troubles on Every Side. What do we do now? When I say troubles on every side, I'm more so centered around the things as what the economy is doing and what Congress and the government is trying to do to ease the pain of people, what people are going through. So first of all, there was a $750 billion bailout plan. They don't want to call it bailout anymore. They want to call it a rescue plan. I still call it the bailout plan because they're trying to bail out some stuff that should not have taken place. And therein we begin to understand really the heart of man in all of this. But a $750 billion bailout plan that the government is saying that we're willing to give to companies that's going through some challenges now, and I'm for helping companies come out of the challenge that they're coming out of. But I saw one guy say, and in fact, I even made the statement myself, wouldn't it kind of make more sense if rather than just to put $750 billion into some companies that's kind of going under, why don't they put $1 million, or they can afford to put $1 billion in each one of our households because there's only 300 million people in the United States. So Elder Lee, if you got $1 billion, don't you think you might go out and spend about maybe half of that? Just bailed you out. I just bailed out AIG because there are going to be people that's going to go to AIG to buy insurance. I just bailed out In the Bank because there are people that will put maybe half $1 billion in the bank. Certainly out of 300 million people, somebody is going to go to them. I just bailed out Bear Stearns. I just bailed out all of these companies. Just bailed out Wachovia because I put a little money in Wachovia's bank and their stock would go up. I would, huh? Yeah. Amen, yeah. They only insured 250, right? Yes. So I wanted to spread all that around. But here's the thing. Let me explain what really happened in this particular process here. First of all, we as the people, we borrow from banks. Banks make money when we borrow from them. They make money on the money that you get from them. But in turn, the banks as well borrow from other banks, and they borrow from as well the feds. And when they do this, they make money off of the banks. So it's a cycle that starts at one point and then it comes back around. And so you got banks that borrow from other lenders that borrow from other lenders, and all of this is a big cycle. And of course, you and I start this particular process. But the challenge that happened is that, well, let me say this. And then all of them, in a sense, kind of borrow from the feds as need be. But then even the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank, don't stop there. They go and borrow from people on the other side of the world. And therefore, you have an economy that's going on in the United States, but it's not only going on in the United States. Now, by them borrowing from other lenders around the world, they are being affected as well. And so we got all of this that's going on. But one of the problems that happened is that, to my understanding, now I've heard this, that the government kind of gets into things and the government kind of forces, I won't say force, but I'm going to use the word force. It kind of forced banks and other companies to say, well, you need to loan money to certain type of people because we want everybody in America to have a house. It doesn't matter what kind of credit they have, we want you to loan them some money. And that's not a good deal because, see, not having credit that's not good is really a sign of something else. And I'll use myself as an example in this particular scenario here. If my credit isn't good, it means that either I'm not doing something right or I'm doing too much of the wrong thing that I am doing. I get a credit card and I'm going to the limit on it. In fact, I'm exceeding the limit. And then when I exceed the limit, I'm not paying the monthly amount that I promised these companies that I would pay. And so therefore, I get into too much debt. It messes up my credit. And thereby, the problem really is in me. But yet the government will step in and say, no, but Stephen, his credit ain't so good, and you need to give him a loan. On top of that, me with bad credit, not only can I now get the loan, but as well, I can only afford, in the case of houses, I can only afford a $50,000 house, but I go out and buy a $150,000 house. Bad credit, getting more money than I need. And so what happens, these companies will give what they call adjustable or variable rates. And when they give you these rates, at some point in time, these rates fluctuate. And so when they go up too high, my payment on a monthly basis, whereas it was $500, now I'm paying $1,200 a month. So Stephen, who doesn't make enough money to really own what I'm getting anyway, is now in a position where I'm out buying new cars and I'm buying all of this other stuff that got me in debt. And now on top of that, I got a house that really I shouldn't have been in. It's a $150,000 house instead of a $50,000 house. And it began to cave in. So therefore, there are a million Stephens out there that bought more than they should have gotten. And as well, my credit isn't that good. Our credit isn't that good. And so when I say, hey, I can't pay it anymore, guys, they say, well, we're going to come get it. It's all right for them to do me, and let's say Brother Ken, Lee, and Tammy. It's all right to do that for a few of us. But then when they get to do it to too many of us, it puts them in an awkward position because now the money that they've loaned out is more than they're getting back in because too many people went through the system or defaulted too quickly. And as a result of it, now the banks are saying, hold on, we got to put a freeze on lending because we're getting burnt by too many people. And when the bank says, hold on, we can't afford to loan any more money, the other people that the banks owe, now the banks can't pay them because they've become a Stephen. They got into too much debt and can't afford to pay their bills. And the lenders that the banks are getting money from, they're in the same position. Now the federal government is saying, no, we got to shut you down because you aren't paying your bill. The world markets are saying, no, United States, you aren't paying your bill, so we got to close the gap. And as a result of it, the whole process caves in. In a sense, that's kind of like what happens there. And so now you have the freeze on lending because of the foreclosures on the mortgages and even foreclosures on other things that perhaps people may have bought. And that's just an understandable process. So the banks can't borrow, the feds can't borrow in a sense. But one thing that the feds can do, and this is what they are doing when they are talking about the $750 billion, is that they can print money. They can print it each day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without stop. And so it's easy for them to print money, but when you're printing it and it's just being printed, the value of it decreases as well. And so therefore, it's affecting the markets around the world. And what's tied to all of this is what they call the Dow Jones, the S&P, the NASDAQ. All of these people that have their monies into these processes, they are buying and selling stock each and every day. They're buying and selling stock of Wachovia, Krispy Kreme, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, McDonald's, all of these companies. But when the market began to go down, what they're doing more selling than they are buying. And they don't want that to take a drop like that. And so now we're in a position where all of this stuff is tied to the stock market. And when the stock market take a dive, if you have money invested in the stock market, if you have money in 401ks and you are buying stock from this company or that company, what you had as a value here is now at a value down there. But take heart, people. It ain't over until it's over. Don't fret yourself. Now, how did this happen? The bottom line is this. People got greedy. Stephens got greedy. The banks got greedy, the Fed's getting greedy, stock market and all of that is greed. You see, the bottom line is this. Whenever you break the laws that are supposed to be in place, there's always calamity waiting down the road. It works that way with money. It works that way with sin. It works that way with life. It works that way with relationships. It works that way in every area of our lives. If we do not uphold the laws that are supposed to be in place, at some point, things begin to fall apart. And that's what's happening with our economical system. the laws that are supposed to be in place, like you ain't supposed to be loaning money to Stephen until he get himself together and show some sign that he's going to do better than what he has been doing in the past. When you break that law, then ultimately it's going to collapse. Can't help it. It has to. Brother Ken, if I loan you some money and you don't pay me back, you're going to come to me again, perhaps. But I ain't dumb enough to think that, yeah, you stick me once, shame on you. Stick me twice, shame on me. That's the way it goes. And it's the way it goes in business as well. Now, I'm not saying this to say that people that maybe have situations where their credit isn't as good, I'm not saying that you should cut them off altogether. I'm just explaining again what the process is in life and how it affects us. And now when it gets blown out of proportion, it affects the whole nation, affects the whole world. Because people, here it is what God told Israel. God told Israel, listen, you live by a different law than the rest of the people in the world. If somebody comes to you and they borrow from you, you are the servant. They are the servants to you. But after 7 years, you're supposed to release them from whatever it is that they owe you. So if you do owe me $1 million after 7 years, you haven't paid it back, I should be willing in my heart to say, okay, I forgive you this time, brother. You might not get any more out of me, but at least you're not under the bondage of being in debt. God is a way that God said, I'm going to clean the slate, and therefore the people in the land can be released from the pressure that they are under. And that's the way it was with Israel for a while. I don't know if they still operate by that system. And so all of this happened by the greed of the borrowers and the lenders, and as well, you know, people got properties and things of that nature that they really could not afford. And there were loans that were made, and they were made to the wrong people. And then there were some people that who got loans, and maybe they just switched one day and said, well, you know, I got this money, I'm not going to pay it back. But still, it all goes to that means and how that works. With these adjustable rate loans, some of you may have them, maybe you don't. Those loans are good for a season. They are good for a particular purpose, but everything that's good for me ain't good for you. Everything that's good for you ain't good for me, and therefore we have to know what it is that I need for my life, what it is you need for your life. I can eat anything that I want, whatever you put on my plate. If I can get it past this, my body handles it real well. But then there are some of you out there that says, you know, I can't mess with too much sweets. I cannot mess with too much fatty food, because you have a tendency, perhaps, that your body deals with that food different than the way my body does. And so it's just like the same thing with the lending process and the loaning process. You have to know what your limit is, and I have to know what my limit is. One of the problems that we have in this situation is that there were too many Stevens out there that's trying to live like a Ken or a Lee who could afford to pay theirs back, but I'm trying to impress them, so I got myself into a hock that I can't handle. And there's too many of us out there like that. Too many Stevens that's causing this whole problem. And again, Stephen ain't a bad guy. He just don't know how to run his life. He doesn't know how to rule his life. And we'll see that that's going to get into something else. Now, let me say this. What is it that we do now that America is in this particular situation? What is it that we do now that we are in this situation? First of all, if you own a 401k on your job, and if you own stock, and if you own any kind of means where you're saying it was worth this today and it's going down to that tomorrow, do not sell it. Do not get rid of it. If you have money in the bank, leave your money in the bank, because that is one of the concerns that the government has, and that is people will make a run on the bank. Wherein, Christie and First Lady, you people say, well, I'm going to make a run on Carolina's telco, and they go and take all of their money out. All of you all have instantly lost your jobs. With Wachovia and with these other banks, that's the thing that was beginning to happen to them. People want to go and get their money. Some people got hundreds of thousands of dollars in one account or three or four accounts, and they go make a run on it, and the bank, now they really don't have any money. They don't have liquid money. And really, that's what it really boils down to. It's not so much that these companies don't have money. I'll use American General, AIG, which is the largest insurance company in the world. They have $1 trillion in assets. But it's one thing to have assets. It's another thing to have cash in your pocket. You could be worth $500,000, but on you, you may only have $10,000 that you can say, I can go get it and bring it right to you and pay this off. But they won't pay that any attention, the fact that you have $500,000. How much can you give me now? And that's what they're going through. Wachovia, American General, all of those companies don't have it right now. But if you give them 6 months, maybe a year to pay to sell some of that assets off, it could be worth, they could have the money that they need. But it's called short-term capital and long-term capital. So leave your money in the banks. Don't take it out of your 401k. In fact, I was mentioning this to Brother Robert. If you're buying stock or if you're putting money into your 401k, now is the best time to buy. Let me say this about mortgages. And you know, I was asking Elder Lee about this, and, you know, maybe he can even say something in reference to it that puts it in a better perspective than I can. If you do not have a home or a house or own a house, now is the best time to go buy it. If you have a job, if you worked on your credit over the past few months to get it in place, now is the best time to buy a house. Why? Because the prices of houses was up there. Now, because of a lot of foreclosures, the prices of houses have dropped. And I prefer to have a $200,000 house that I can buy at $100,000 than I would have at buying it at $200,000. And so if you say, hey, I got a house, go buy another one if you can afford to. I'm not saying get yourself strung out there wherein you create the same kind of problem that we have. I'm just saying this. If you can afford to buy a home, now is the best time, and you probably won't see this again like this for another 100 years, I'm guessing. It could happen again within the next 2 or 3 years if we don't learn something from it. It's the best time to buy stock, best time to buy property. Lastly, do not panic in the situation. And that's really what I want to kind of get into. But I want to ask Elder Lee, if you can think of something that we need to know in reference to properties or whatever the case may be, I'd like for you to just say something in reference to that, if you have any words. Wait a minute, you got to put this on the tape.
Because somebody can learn from this.
I mean, I think you're right in what you're saying. The foreclosure list that I look at, everybody's on the list, first of all. I see more million-dollar homes on the list than I've ever seen before. And, I mean, these are some big-name people that you wouldn't believe are defaulting on their properties, but people are. Because if you're making $250,000 and all of a sudden you're not, your property's gone. The thing to be cautioned about is that every house is not a good deal, although it's under foreclosure. There are some houses that are out there that people haven't had them for 2 or 3 years and they overpaid them anyway. So those aren't the houses you want to be looking for. There are some houses, unfortunately, that some older people are losing. Sadly to say, and I hate this is on tape, because you got a house that someone's had for 20 years. They paid down their interest and they're paying off their principal and the house is going to literally nothing. That's your deal. And those are the ones that people collect. And one last thing, I was listening to a speaker yesterday, and he was explaining how he made his, you know, people talk about him just being lucky. He said, I made all my money when the market crashed in the 80s because house values went down. He said, my wife and I had been living in an apartment. At one point, was living out of our home, out of their car. But one thing they did was they tried to maintain their credit. They bought a $300,000 house for $100,000, which you can find those now, but it's those deals I was just talking about. And they began to buy up properties that the government were encouraging people to buy. Same situation now. And 10 years later, those properties doubled and tripled in value. And now, wow, they have millions of dollars. Same thing now. It's a great time to buy. Just be cautious in what you're doing and buy the right type of properties.
So absolutely true. Because here's another thing, in talking to Elder Lee, what I've learned. Sometimes when people are losing their homes, what they'll do, and it goes to show where the hearts of people are. If Stephen is losing his home, he'll go out and bust out the walls. He'll put holes in the walls, he'll bust out window panes and do all that kind of stuff. it doesn't make sense that they should do anything like that. But when you're losing, you have a tendency to have an attitude about losing. And so, therefore, some of these homes do get banged up a little bit, just like a car. Yeah, if he's about to have his car taken, what do? They drive it any kind of way. They wreck it. They bend it up, do anything they want to it, and then say, ha, 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 you can have it now. I trust that you all don't do any of that kind of stuff, though, okay? All right. And so all of this is kind of tied in together and so forth and so on. And, you know, but anyway, here is the message that I really want us to see in this, because it ain't just something natural going on. It's a spiritual thing as well. Psalm 37, starting at verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And here are the key verses. In what we're going through in the economy, and what you're going through in life, and what you're going through even with challenges in your body, your health, or concern in life, period, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and thou verily shalt be fed. That is the thing that we understand. When you serve God and you serve him right, and you do good, and you trust in him, you will be fed. I mentioned that there are a lot of people that are panicking simply because they're losing a little money. They can't take it with them anyway. Naked they came in the world, naked shall they leave this world. But yet they're all concerned about losing a few dollars. I would be too, rightly so. It's understandable. But the thing about it is that we have to trust God in all things. And I'm saying this to us today because we, even in the church, sometimes we can get concern and we can panic and we can do things that are man-made instead of trusting in God with that which we have and trusting in God that he's going to make a way. Number 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. If I have a desire, I'm trusting God that he's going to bring it through. He's going to feed me. He's going to give me as well the desires. He told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8:18, I believe it is, he said that it is I, the Lord thy God, that give thee power to get wealth. And see, one of the reasons why we're in the position that we're in as a nation and even as the world is because people really aren't trusting in God. They're trusting in the almighty dollar. They're trusting in the properties. They're even trusting in men that they think can deliver them, and that man cannot deliver them. Just want to make a little political comment here. Do not trust in John McCain. Do not trust in Barack Obama. Do not trust in George Bush. They are not your source. They are not the ones that can feed you. They are not the ones that can meet your needs. It is God Almighty that can do it, and he alone is the one. Because presidents have come and gone, and my life really hasn't changed that much. No matter what president it has been in office. In other words, I know many of them make promises and Congress make promises that we're going to give people this and we're going to give people that, but I really haven't seen much of it. I've seen even more so of the money coming out of my pockets to help take care of some of those things that they do put in place than they have to return unto me. So I'm saying this, I ain't trusting in man, no matter who it is that becomes president. I will vote and do my job to put the man or the woman or whomever it is that's involved in the process. But when it comes down to it, I'm trusting in God. Because looking back over the past 8 years, President Bush made a lot of promises. And when 9/11 came, a lot of those promises that he may have thought was in his heart and mind went out the window, because now we're more concerned about a war and we're more concerned about other things. It's just the way that life goes. Because we never, ever know what's going to pop up from around the corner. Verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light in the judgment of the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In other words, what God is saying here, wherever your life is, you could be one of those Stevens that may have gotten yourself into a foreclosed position. You may be one of those individuals wherein you bought too much, or maybe your credit isn't so good. Still, you trust in the Lord. Still, you do good, and God will make sure that you are fed. He'll make sure that your desires are met. If you commit your way into the Lord, he will take care of those evildoers that may even come up against you. Now, I can say this not only by just reading it, but I can even say it by the life that I have seen throughout my ages. At the age that I am, don't you know that I've been through some tough times? Don't you know that there have been crashes like in 1987? Don't you know, for those that have been living since 1929, that you've lived through a depression and you've lived through the recessions that took place in the 1970s? And if we can look back over time, who brought us through it? God brought us through it. It wasn't the president, it wasn't Congress, it wasn't the governor, it wasn't even the mayor of the city. It was God that brought me from where I was to where I am. He even brought me through the racial issues that went on in the nations back in the 60s, 50s and 60s. He made sure that I was able to partake of an education. He was able to provide food for a mom and a dad who had 12 kids. And this day and time, if you have 12 kids, you might think you can't even make it. But let me tell you something. You can make it whether you got one child, 10 child, or 50 children. You can make it because your trust is in the Lord. So don't get caught up in all this stuff, this propaganda that's going across the airwaves. In fact, what I'd suggest to you is around about 4:30 or 5 o'clock, turn your television off, turn your radio off, because the men and the women that's preaching the gospel of what's going on in this world, in this state, in this city, are preaching bad news. It's not the gospel that gives you life. It's the gospel that talks about death. Because all they do, and I'm talking about the news on Channel 9, Channel 36, 18, whatever the case may be, CNN runs it 24 hours a day, I believe. But we have to pull ourselves away from listening to that stuff, because otherwise you're going to think, man, how am I going to survive? You got plane crashes. You got the price of gas going up. You got people losing homes. And you got people doing this, and people are getting sick, and they have all kinds of things going on in the nation. And when we listen to that stuff, it can't help but affecting the heart. The old cliche, garbage in, garbage out. And let me say this just to add to it. What's happening to the garbage before it comes back out is rattling around in our minds and corrupting our minds and our heart. It's just that when we spit it out, it's messed up what was up here. Garbage in, garbage spinning around in my head and my heart, and whatsoever is in a man's heart, that's what he's speaking. That's why people a lot of times cannot speak the goodness of God. That's why sometimes people cannot speak faith, and they cannot speak the words of encouragement, because they've allowed too much garbage to get in their hearts and their minds. And so the idea is that don't lean to your own understanding. Don't think that based on what you see is where it's going to always be. Don't panic. I'm telling you, don't panic. It's going to get better. If you continue to live, if you continue to press, if you continue to just do good, it's going to get better. And for those that it doesn't get better for in this life, thank God you got another life that it'll be better anyway. I can say this, that when we trust in man, we understand that the ways of men are futile. The Bible tells us to not trust in chariots and horses, the ways of men, but trust in the Almighty God. So I'm saying to you, don't panic. Don't do something foolish like people do. And that is, oh, the market is going down, I'm going to go sell all my stock. Man, you had $100,000 worth of stock, and now you're willing to sell it for $25,000? No, that's a bad move. Because once you take it out, now you've taken the $75,000 loss. But as long as you're leaving it in there, and you can, at this point in time, because the price is down, buy more of it, it's on sale, and ultimately the price is going to go back up. And when it goes back up, that's when you sell. Especially, let me say this, if you are at the point, unless you are at the point of retirement, you definitely don't want to touch it. But, you know, I understand that sometimes when people are about to retire, they have to pull out monies from their 401k plans or what have you. Another thing I think about is this. When you see all of this stuff that's going around, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus already talked about all of this stuff. He's already told us that there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be problems in the earth. There will be famines, shortages of food, shortages of oil, shortages of everything that you have before you now that's plentiful. There's going to come a day in which it will be a shortage of it. 50 years ago, they never would have thought about the fact that the price of oil would be where it is today, and that the shortage of oil will ever hit America. That's because we were living the ways of men and not having the foresight to see what God really wants to do in our lives. And I say this, believe not what you see, but see what you believe. Let me say this again. Don't believe in the stuff that you see, because we see the falling of the market and the calamities, and we see all kinds of stuff and confusion is going on in the world. But I do see what I believe in, more appropriately to say. I see God in everything. I see God in my life, and I see him in your life, and I see him in the children's lives, and the protection, and all of the means in which he has brought us through. A couple of weeks ago, we were concerned about the price of gas, and God put an end to that. God said, well, since you're concerned about the price of gas, I put a shortage on the gas, and you don't see anybody complaining about the price of gas anymore. The news don't even report what the price of gas is. The report is it ain't none, and the lines are long. God's way of saying, I'll show you how to stop complaining about the price. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the bottom line is we got to get back to God. I want to read a couple other verses in my closing here. Psalm 49, and all of these are coming from Psalms. Psalm 49, 6 says this. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. And so when we think that our riches mean something, I was thinking about what Elder Lee said. When you're making $250,000 a day, and there are plenty of people that's making that kind of money, and then they lose their job tomorrow, they can't afford the house that they live in. But that's why it goes to show us that no matter how much that God gives us, we have to use wisdom, and we have to be good, and we have to be givers to God with that which we have. If I was a millionaire, is it still wise for me to live in a $5 million house? Might not be wise at all. I mean, that's a person's prerogative. But I look at man, 80-some years of age, and he's living in a $5 million house. My thing is, for what? And now, about to lose it. It's all right. He said he was out of work for a while. I'm thinking to myself, man, when I get 80-something, I don't really want to be working. Not to that extent that I have to pay for a mortgage like that. But again, it's his prerogative, it's your prerogative. All I'm saying is this, use wisdom with that which you have. I know we all want to be millionaires. And to be honest with you, it really ain't hard to become a millionaire if you just set a little aside every month over the course of your ages. You can become a millionaire. Now, I'm talking about for a young person age 18, they put aside $50 a month, every month, into something like mutual funds or buying stock or what have you. By the time they're 60, they'll probably be a millionaire. But they can't go out and buy all these big, fine cars and these big houses and having all this other stuff that they want to add to it and do the same thing. Remember what I said? When you break the laws that's in place, the laws ultimately will come back and break us. I want to read another psalm, Psalm 62:8, and it says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And then the last one I want to read is Psalm 118. I think this puts it in a pretty good position here. Psalm 118, verses 1 through 9, it says this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Bottom line, it says this. Whatever it is that we're going through, you trust in the Lord. And sadly to say, there are too many people that ain't trusting in God, don't know God, don't want to know God, ain't following his ways, ain't doing what he says to do, but we're doing what we want to do, and we think that we're going to be all right, but we ain't going to be all right, because without God, we are nothing. Without God, we're nobody. Without God, no matter how great my name is, I am nothing whatsoever. It can come easy, it will go even faster. It can come hard, and it can go real fast, as we see today. But people ain't trusting in God. They're trusting in the stock market. And some people are trusting in man's ways of making it in this world. Some people are trusting in the materialistic things of this life. But we have to trust in God, and God ain't materialistic. And therefore, I have to say again, I have to stop believing in that which I see and see that which I believe. I have to see God in my life. I have to see that God is moving and working in my life. Even when I don't have anything, God, you are with me and you are working it out. God, when I don't have food on my table, I'm trusting in you, and verily I shall be fed. Might be a little hungry, God, but I know one day you're going to feed me. God, I don't have any money in my pocket, but if I just hold on to you and walk by your ways, God, one day you're going to give me the desires of my heart. One day, God, because I'm trusting in you and in your laws. And I ain't trusting in the stock market. I ain't trusting in Obama. I'm not trusting in McCain. I'm not trusting in Bush. I'm not trusting in the Clintons. I ain't trusting in nobody, God, that I think that I should be able to trust in. I'm trusting in you. Because you see everything about me. You know everything about me. You know my comings and my going. You know my frailties. You know my strength. God, you know my sins, and you know my attributes to this world. You know everything, God. So therefore, I can say I trust in you. Why can I trust in God? Because at the times in which I deserved to have been killed, I didn't die, but I lived. At the times that I should have been sick, I'm not sick, but I'm well. At the time when I didn't have food on my table, I trust in you, God, and you supplied my every need. At the times I didn't have clothes to put on my back, God, because I trusted in you, you made a way when it didn't even appear as if there was a way to be made. God, when I was running from you, still, because I've learned to trust in you, I'm able to come back to you and you'll take me in. So I just want to say that for all of us. Don't panic in your situation. Too many people are panicking. And we can see it on television. We can see it in the life of people. We can see it. If you look at some people close enough, you can see it in their eyes that they're panicking. They're panicking because maybe they are losing their house, or maybe losing their car, or losing whatever the case may be. And I understand that. But I ain't trusting in my car. God, I'm trusting in you. Enjoy Ministries. It's going to trust in you. And the last thing I want to say, I'm going to end it right here. But First Lady gave me a scripture last night, and I promised to myself I wouldn't take it, but she wanted to give this. She really wanted to encourage the people, but it was so in tune with what I had to say. I'm going to just let her read this and make a comment in reference to it. I wanted to steal it real bad, though, and just want you to know that. It is. Jeremiah, what? So she just wanted to say this, and I'm going to give her that opportunity. Is that it?
Yes. This is coming from Jeremiah 17th chapter. And if anybody want to turn there, but, you know, Pastor was talking about how trusting in the Lord coming from Psalms 37. And then this particular scripture came on my heart, and I was sharing it with Pastor last night about 1:30, 2 o'clock this morning. We were talking about it. And it says that in Jeremiah chapter 17, and I'm reading the New International Version, but it's verse 7. We know when we trust in the Lord that the Lord has it in control. But this particular scripture says that blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence in him, he will be like a tree planted by the waters that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green, and it has no worries in a year of drought. Now, you all know we've been in a drought, so to speak, when it comes to the gas. There's been a drought. I heard on the news where there's been about 750 jobs have been lost over a period of time. We know that money issue is a problem, because if not, Wachovia wouldn't be merging with Wells Fargo, if that be the case. So there is a drought in the land that's going on. But the scripture simply tells us that blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. And it simply tells us that it has no worries in that year. Whatever year we are in, a drought, we don't need to worry, because our trust, as Pastor has said, is in the Lord. McCain gets up one moment and he says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep the army or whatever in Iraq. Barack Obama gets over here and says, I'm going to pull them out of Iraq. McCain over here says, I'm going to do this. Barack on terms on says, I'm going to do this. And then they're both are saying what they're going to do, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. So you simply just cannot trust in what they're saying they're going to do, just like Pastor said. But blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. If there's a drought of gas, God going to make a way for us to get some. Amen. If there's food, there's a drought, God going to make a way for his people to be fed. Over in the same chapter that Pastor was talking, in chapter 37, Psalms 37, David, a mighty warrior of God, mighty man, great man of valor, he said, I was young and now I'm old. He said, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. That says a lot when you say David says he was young and now he's old, but he's never seen that. Hallelujah. So I wanted to share that with you. And then I wanted to just let you know about blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord. And let me tell you about the one that does not trust in the Lord. Let me just read this real quick. Now, this is the same chapter, chapter 7, and it is verse 5. And it says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the harsh places of a desert. So we don't want to be that man that trusts in man, because we're not going anywhere. Amen. But when we trust in the Lord, the word says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. So I just want to share this with you all, and for you all to be blessed through it, and know and realize that if there's a drought this year, if there's a drought next year, God said he's a God that will supply our every need. The word will sustain us. God himself and the trusting in God will sustain and keep us. And this is what we've got to hold on. The election will be within the next 3 to 4 weeks, if that be the case. And we're going to know who's going to get in that chair. But whoever gets in that chair, we have got to totally and completely trust in the Lord to bring about a change within this country. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
Amen. And let me say this in reference to show you how it is. I know there are concerns of people losing jobs and so forth and so on. Has anybody in this place in the past 6 months lost your job? Raise your hand if you have. Anybody? Jacob. Jacob lost his. Okay. I realize that that happens. It goes to say this too as well. That's why it's so important for us to stick as one, to love each other and support one another. Because we just gave earlier, right? Sometimes your giving is there to help those that maybe are lacking and maybe are struggling. And they're becoming one of those Stevens with the bad credit and so forth and so on. That maybe can't be helped, but at least it can be supplied food on their table and so forth and so on. Now, let me ask this question. Raise your hand or stand up for that matter if within the past 6 months you didn't have a job and you got one today. Okay, there's one. Justin? Didn't you just recently get a job? Within the past 6 months? Okay. Okay. You see three people, right? Four. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Lauren. Okay. Here are four people that in this ministry alone, God has given new jobs to. I didn't see. Praise God for that. I didn't see any hands of anybody that has lost a job, and I thank God so much for that as well. However, did I see Constance come in here earlier? No, not today. I'm getting her mixed up with someone else. Constance Collins, she got a job. Justin got a job. I believe Mike got a job, didn't he, recently? Patricia's son, Mike. I don't know about Roscoe. Who? Okay. Two jobs. Barry Ship went from one job and making two times more on the new job that he got. All I'm saying is this. We hear about bad news and we hear about people losing jobs, but when we can trust in the Lord, God will make a way even in Enjoy Ministries to supply our needs. It's just the way it'll go. So we can't look at what we lost. We look at the God that's able to supply the gain. And so don't panic, folks. God got jobs out there. Don't panic. Do what you can do good to bless God and to help other people and delight in his goodness. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much, God. You are a good God, and we will trust in you. And that's not to say that things won't come our way, that, Lord, that's tough and challenging for us, but it does mean that no matter what does come our way, you are going to help us through it all. And it's not by the man, Lord, that stands in the office, it's not by the man, for that matter, that stands in the pulpit, but it's by you and your greatness that comes with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So with that being said, if you would please stand. And you know,